This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإن لم يستجيبوا لك فاعلم أنما يتبعون أهواءهم ومن أضل ممن اتبع هواه بغير هدى من الله إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Verse 49, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these disbelievers of Mecca an open challenge. You allege, you have the audacity, you pass the blasphemous remarks that the Quran is magic and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a magician, and you pronounce similar sentiments regarding the Torah and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, sihrani tazahara ay ta'awana wa qalu inna bikullin kafirun. Okay, so then please, you present, you know, you smart, you calculated, you wise, you know it all. Produce, present, display a book from the Almighty. Ahdahuma, which according to you is greater in guidance. Attabi'hu, I will embrace it. In kuntum sadiqeen, if you are honest in your claim that the Quran is magic. Verse 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكْ, and if they cannot deliver on this challenge, and if they cannot oblige to this, and surely they cannot, because the Quran is absolute, it is the word of Allah. لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. This is divine revelation from Allah. قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say unto them, if the human and the jinn kind were to pool their resources collectively and they were to aid and support and assist each other. You know what? You gather the topic, you put it in words, you choose the Arabic, you present the formation, you put the grammar in place, you structure the sentence, apply your talent, you know what? Pool your resources. لا يأتون بمثله وكلام ربي لا يجيء بمثله أحد وكلام ربي لا يجيء بمثله أحد. And the word of Allah, none can display it. Even ولو جمعت له الثقلان, even if you were to gather the human and the jinn kind. فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة. You say that the Quran is fabricated, it's man-made. Well, then there's an open challenge. Produce its likes. Present this here. And if you are honest, wallahi, you would be compelled to accept that the Arabic and the fasaha of the Quran is just mind-boggling. Was it Ibn al-Muqaffa who was busy writing, or critiquing the Quran? And he was writing his observations. And while he was busy writing his comments and his remarks, a child close by happens to read a verse of the Quran. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بِلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي. And this is the context of the tale and the story of Nuh alayhi salam post the floods. وَقِيلَ, and it was said, يَا أَرْضُ بِلَعِي مَاءَكِ, O the earth, drink up your water. Now, in that expression and that ta'bir, the amount of balagha and eloquence that have been captured there is something too academic. I've read it in few tafasir for me to endeavor to even explain here. When he heard this, كَسَّرَ الْأَقْلَامَ وَمَزَّقَ الصُّحُفِ, he broke his pen and he tore his scroll. And he said, if that's the eloquence of this speech, then you know what? I've lost my battle before I have commenced it. And then he was fortunate that he was blessed with iman and he took the shahada. So Allah said to them, if it is not divine as you allege, then produce its likes. And then you had the likes of Musaylama, who wanted to mimic the Quran and create his own, and using the weight and the wazn of the Quran, Al-Qari'atu mal-Qari'atu wa ma adaraka mal-Qari'ah. الحاقة ما الحاقة الحاقة وما أدراك ما الحاقة. Allah speaks about the clamor and Allah speaks about qiyamah. So he uses that same weight, that same phrase, and then he says, الفيل ما الفيل وما أدراك ما الفيل خرطومه طويل. An elephant, do you know what's an elephant? Musaylama, the false prophet, this is the supposed Quran he fabricated. An elephant, do you know what's an elephant? Must I tell you what's an elephant? I mean, hilarious, laughable, insane. Really, are you there? خُرْطُومُهُ طويل, it has a long trunk. Oh man, you know what? Is that the best you could make up? You know what? It's an insult to even begin to make a comparison. It is an insult to even begin to make a comparison. Verse 50, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they do not respond to this challenge, and surely they cannot, because the Quran is the speech of Allah, فَعْلَمْ, then know, realize and understand, أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, surely they are following their whims and their base desires. وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And who can be more misled, more deviant than the one who follows his whims and his desires without any guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you seen the person who's made his ilah, his God, his deity, his base desires? People say, you're following the Prophet, you mustn't follow anyone. Well, then you're following your nafs. You are following someone. So rather you follow the Prophet who's divine, who's pure. I always say, sadly, we living in the world where the prophets, as in P-R-O-P-H-E-T, has less followers, and P-R-O-F-I-T, profits, revenue, money, that has more followers. That is the world in which we are living. وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ, and who can be more deviant? وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَى, than the one who follows his base desires. بِغَيْرِ هُدَمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, without any guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had warned us that prior to Qiyamah, إِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ, you would find that each person would become obsessed with his opinion. هَوَنْ مُتَّبَعًا, and people will start following their base desires. It's just a matter of indulging. It's just a matter of enjoying. It's just a matter of celebrating. And you see a person just spends his entire life. But there's one thing you got to appreciate, my brother and my sister. There are certain ways or shortcuts to certain things. And you can circumvent some things. But there is no way or shortcut to happiness. I always say this here. Sin can make you look happy. But only obedience will make you feel happy. Yes. Sin can make you look happy. So a person is living a life of sin, vice, transgression. He's partying, he's indulging. Outwardly, apparently, superficially, it looks. And again, I like to quote the words of Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, where he gives the analogy of interest and zakat. La ilaha illallah. So he says, a person who's consuming interest, this is, you know what, outwardly, apparently, his wealth, there's growth in it. There's expansion in his wealth. But he says this can be likened to a person who is eating fast foods or fatty foods, and now he's becoming obese. So an onlooker with a superficial gaze or glance will say, oh, well, that's big, that's huge. But we all know that's not health that's growing. He's getting bulky, but that's becoming obese. And that obesity increases the risk of so many medical conditions. It predisposes him to a host of medical conditions. And likewise, he says that interest in your money might make your money grow, but that's obesity in your wealth. That's obesity in your wealth. So outwardly, the superficial eye says, that guy is big, he's huge. But honestly, he's bulky, he's huge. But he cannot help anyone. He poses a risk to himself. He's more vulnerable, more susceptible to diabetes, to high blood, to cardiac arrest, and you name it, whatever could happen. And may Allah make it easy for one and all. I'm just giving an analogy. So that wealth that is coming in, or outwardly multiplying your wealth through interest, that is, you know what, obesity in your wealth. That is obesity in your wealth. And another person is given zakat. So his money is outwardly decreasing, but
It's just like you flushing out a bug from the system. You might be going to the loo and you might be getting the runs. You might look lean, thin, slim, but you're becoming healthy because the system is flushing out. The system is flushing out. So you are taking that, flushing out that from your wealth, and your wealth is becoming pure and wholesome. So what am I saying? I'm saying that sin can make you look happy, but only obedience will make you feel happy. And that's irrefutable. Following your base desires might give you a thrill and excitement, but wallah, thumma wallah, ask that person, he can never ever be happy. Okay, verse 50, we labored the point here. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Then surely, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are following their base desires. May Allah save us from that, a life of just indulgence. I was saying in a recent talk in London, everybody wants happiness, my brother and my sister. And we are told, or we believe, or we assume that the more I indulge, the happier I get. But we know that's untrue. That's untrue. We eat the best, we sleep the best, we travel to the best places. But are we happy? No, not at all. But here's a perfect example. Look at Ramadan. So besides the month of Ramadan, the 11 months of the year, we have three good, wholesome meals, averagely speaking. But honestly, ask yourself, are you excited for breakfast? Are you delighted for lunch? Are you ecstatic for dinner? No, you enjoy it. It's okay. You feel great, but that's about it. There isn't like a euphoria or an excitement or an overwhelming joy. But in the month of Ramadan, for 30 days, young and old, male and female, one and all, are excited for iftar. It's the only month where every day you get excited for the meal. So what's the answer to happiness? Deprivation and then moderate indulgence. This is where Allah has kept happiness. Deprive yourself the entire day. مَا شَبِعَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا هَمَّ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ. The Noon Misri said, whenever the human belly was satiated, the devil started his whispers and indoctrination of evil and vice. So deprivation, nowadays is the intermittent fasting, which has become a big thing for weight loss. But fast, deprive yourself, and then moderately indulge, and there will be pleasure and meaning to it. وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ. None can be more deviant than the one who follows his base desires without any guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Surely Allah does not guide an oppressive nation. Verse 51, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّلْنَا لَهُمُ الْقَوْلَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And we send down the word to them repeatedly in succession. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا تَتْرَى. Prophet upon prophet, message upon message. وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا. Verse 33 of chapter 25, Surah Furqan, that whenever the disbelievers came, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they made some baseless, obnoxious conclusions and analogies, إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ, we presented you with the truth and with a clear-cut answer. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّلْنَا وَصَّلَ يُوَصِّلُ تَوْصِيلٌ. We send message. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. And we have presented to them in this Quran every form of example, of guidance, of haq, of explanation. فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. But they opted to deny. They chose denial. So verse 51, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّلْنَا لَهُمُ الْقَوْلَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Verse 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ هُمْ بِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who were given the book, those who were given the book from before, meaning before the revelation of the Quran, هُمْ بِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ, they embrace the Quran. So from the people of the Torah and the Injil, those that were honest, genuine, sincere, they knew about the coming of the Quran. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, مُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ, giving the glad tidings, بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي, who will come, مِنْ بَعْدِ, after me, اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ, whose name is Ahmad, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So those who were genuine, who had the knowledge, they were waiting in anticipation. فَآمَنَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَآمَنَ بِمِثْلِهِ The likes of Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. And likewise, of course, Najashi, Ashama was his name, Najashi was his title, that when he heard the Quran, he accepted it. So those who followed the divine scriptures in its original form, they had embraced the Quran because their very divine scriptures had invited them and had discussed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ Those to whom we had given the book, min qablihi, before the Quran, hum bihi yu'minun, they accepted it. They accepted it. And there were so many among them. Zayd bin Su'na. You know the famous incident of Zayd bin Su'na, a quick recap of it. He said, I studied the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I was convinced this man is a prophet. But I just needed clarity on two things. One is, yasbuqu hilmuhu jahla. His forbearance surpasses his anger. وَلَا تَزِيدُ شِدَّةُ الْجَهْلِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا And the more you provoke him, the more calm he is. The more you incite him, the more calculated he is. Long story short, the Prophet ﷺ was standing with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. A Bedouin came to him and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I've invited some people to Islam. And I told them after they revert to Islam, prosperity will follow thereafter, but they have been gripped by drought and famine. فَأَخْشَىٰ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ طَمَعًا كَمَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ طَمَعًا I'm afraid that due to the adversity, it must not be that they relapse in their faith. So if you have some wealth to assist me, I can empower them and rescue them. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at Ali and he said, Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, I don't have. And then he entered into a transaction with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 80 mithqal, 80 coins. And he said, on this day you will pay me. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam agreed. And he took the 80 coins and he gave it to the Bedouin. And he said, go to these people and help them and assist them and be kind to them. And he said, 2 days before the duration had lapsed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam still had a grace of 2 days. I came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I grabbed him by the collar of his garment. And I said that, oh, the descendant of Abdul Muttalib, ma ulimtum illa mutla, ma ulimtum illa mutla. You people have a track record for procrastination and you delay in your payment. Matlul ghani dhulmun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the procrastination of the creditor when he, of the debtor, the procrastination of the debtor when he has the money is exploitation, You owing people money, pay them their due, That's essential. Man akhadha amwal an-nasi yuridu ada'aha addallahu anhu. If you're genuine in pain, Allah will help you to pay. And then Umar radiallahu anhu seen this, وَعَيْنَاهُ تَدُورَانِ كَالْفَلَكِ الْمُسْتَدِيرِ And Umar radiallahu anhu's eyeballs started turning in all directions. And he said, يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ أَتَقُولُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا أَسْمَعُ O foe, O adversary, O enemy, are you literally blurting what you blurting? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله. He said, O Umar, أنا وهو كنا أحوج إلى غير هذا. Myself and him would have appreciated a different approach. You know what, Umar? You should have told me. لا إله إلا الله. Umar, you should have told me. Like, process this. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling Umar, Umar, you should have told me I must be more prompt in my payments. Though the duration had not lapsed, and the Prophet ﷺ was still within his space, and he took that money to help someone, yet he tells Umar, you should have told me to be more prompt in my payment, and you should have told him to be more gentle in demanding his due. Now take him, O Umar, and give him his money, and Zidhu, give him additional amount, because you were harsh. And Umar obliged and complied. And as they were walking, he said to Umar, Umar, you know me. So Umar said, who? He said, Zayd. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, the rabbi, the priest? He said, yes, indeed. So Umar said, but why would you then speak to my prophet in such an uncouth manner? He said, Umar, By Allah, I studied the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I was convinced of his prophethood, but I just needed clarity on two things. And that is, his tolerance surpasses his anger. And the more you provoke him, the more calm he is. And that was a deliberate provocation on my side. And I just wanted to see the response. I make you my witness. I am convinced he is the Prophet. I bring iman on Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa ushhiduka anna shatra mali. And I make you a witness that half of my wealth is charity on the entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Umar said, don't say the entire ummah, say on a portion. And then he said, okay, I adjust it and I say half my wealth. He just became a Muslim. Half my wealth is a charity on a portion of the ummah. And then he becomes a believer and a sahabi, and he passes away in the campaign of Tabuk, radiyallahu anhu, Zayd bin Su'na, the priest and the rabbi. We'll conclude on that note, verse 52, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, those who were given the book, مِنْ قَبْلِهِ هُمْ بِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ, they have brought iman on the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah grant us the true love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ. None of you is a true believer until and unless I am not more beloved to him than his parents, his children, and mankind in its entirety.